We're reading, please, from John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. And let's read, please, from the beginning of the chapter, John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Remember, we're still thinking about the eighth commandment. Last Sunday, we didn't get time to finish it. So we're still thinking about theft and robbery. And here we have the Savior speaking about a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again. You notice the Lord repeats the message. Sometimes God has to repeat the message. Don't be surprised if you hear a preacher preach a sermon twice, because they're following in the Lord's example, repetition. Verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Well, the eighth commandment tells us, thou shalt not steal. Aren't you glad that the Lord gave us this commandment? Let's just say that there never had been an eighth commandment. Well, then people could come to you and take your property, and you'd be the loser. So I'm sure you're glad today that God has given the eighth commandment, that he's given all 10 commandments. You know, some people think, oh, God is a spoil sport, giving us all these rules, spoiling our fun. He's a killjoy. Well, that's not the case. As I've said before, the reason that God gave us the Ten Commandments was because he cares for us. We have a text in the prayer room, and it simply says this: casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. The Lord cares for you today. Contrary to what people outside the church and people in society today would say, he does care. He is a gracious, loving, compassionate Lord who has given us these commandments so that we might be kept from harm. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer as we come to the second part of this commandment. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we come a second time to this great commandment, thou shalt not steal. And Lord, we would pray with the hymn writer those words that we have just sung. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Help us, we're weak. Lord, we think of how the Savior said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, that's the case with us today, not just with the disciples in Gethsemane. Lord, as far as we're concerned today, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh Lord, we are so weak in every way, but we ask for your help and that you will come and bless us. Lord, we know that we have no right to demand of you. And Lord, we don't tell you what to do. But Lord, we ask in humble and in humility, Lord, and would come humbly before thy throne, and we would request that you bless us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we began to study the eighth commandment, and you remember that we mentioned about the widespread occurrence in the scriptures and in society. The eighth commandment has been broken time and time again in society by many different people in many different ways. And we don't need to go over that again this morning, but we mentioned that, and we mentioned about people in scripture who were guilty of stealing, guilty of breaking the eighth commandment. Today we move on to the wicked one. Last week our thoughts were centered upon the widespread occurrence, but think with me now about the wicked one, because we have read earlier in the service from John chapter 10, and it speaks of the wicked one, the devil. And you know, the Bible describes the devil as a thief. He actually is the one who has most blatantly broken the eighth commandment. He's a thief. He's a robber. If you look there again at John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10 verse 10. The thief, that's the devil, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then the Savior says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you know what it really means? Do you know, to put it really simply, what verse 10 means? It means the devil comes to you to steal from you, but the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you to give to you. The devil comes to steal, the Savior comes to give. It's an amazing contrast. And yet it's so sad that the majority of people in this world today are serving the devil. They're following the devil. I know which one I would choose to follow. The wicked one. The devil steals from us in a number of different ways. First of all, I want to remind you today that he steals seconds. He steals seconds. In other words, the devil steals our time. The devil wants you to waste your time. He wants you to spend your time engaged in some activity that will fritter away all your time. And oh, the devil is rubbing his hands in glee, and he's full of joy whenever he sees a sinner wasting time. You see, sometimes during the week I'm in the church and it's all silent. There's no noise, apart from one noise, the tick of the clock. And you know, often as I'm sitting, whether it's preparation or whatever it is that has to be seen to, you can hear the tick of the clock. And you know, it reminds me that every second is precious. You know, time's a gift from the Lord. And if I can put it like this, time is an investment. You spend time. Every one of us spend time. Psalm 90 actually tells us that. The psalmist in the 90th Psalm, it was written by Moses. It speaks there of spending time. You notice it tells us in verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath." Listen, we spend our years as a tale that is told. We spend our years. God has given you a certain length of time to live upon this earth. And you're spending it every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. The clock keeps ticking and you're spending time. Can I ask you today, how are you spending your time? Are you investing it for eternity? Or are you frittering it away on things that won't last? Remember that we're only here for a very short time compared to eternity, compared to the afterlife. And we spoke about it last Sunday evening. The afterlife. There's only two places. The saved go to be with the Lord. But those who are lost, they're cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's forever. Whenever we enter out into eternity, there's no coming back. There's no return. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your life? You know, we're told in the scriptures to redeem the time. Redeem the time. And if you're not saved this morning, the best thing that you could do, the best way that you can redeem the time is by coming to Christ immediately. Without delay. You see, the devil tries to steal time. He tries to steal the sinner's time. He tries to steal the Christian's time. He loves to get believers wasting their time, engaged and distracted in things that at the end of the day, at the end of life's journey, they won't really matter. Oh, he loves to get the Christian sidetracked. I wonder, have you been sidetracked? And because you've been sidetracked by the old thief, the devil, you haven't been spending your time the way God would want you to spend your time. The devil steals seconds, but then he steals seeds. If I can put it like that, he steals seeds. Matthew 13, verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." You see, the devil steals the seed of the word of God. It's possible for him to steal that seed away. He loves to steal the seed of the word of God. He loves to put it out of our minds. He loves to get us to think about other things. Oh, he dreads whenever anyone stops to think about what God says. Whenever anyone stops for a moment to consider the word of God. He's in this service today. You can't see him. You can look around, but you'll not see him. But he's here. He's invisible. But his spirit, or his spirits, his evil spirits, are intent on stealing away the seed that is being sown. And he wants you as soon as, and I was going to say as soon as you're out of the church, but I better put it this way. He wants you while you're in the church, not even to think about the Word of God. The devil wants you to think about what you're doing tomorrow or what you did yesterday. He wants you to think about all the cares, the pressures of life. This needs to be done, that needs to be done. You'll have to see to that tomorrow, and you'll have to see to the other thing tomorrow. He wants your mind to be so full of other things that you've no time to think about the Word of God. But it's a wonderful thing whenever people stop to think about God's Word. That's why it's great that you're in the service today. You have come here today, and by coming here, you've made a very wise choice. Do you know, you people in this service today, you're the wisest people in New Buildings. Maybe you didn't know that. You are the wisest people in New Buildings, not because you're listening to me, no, because you're listening to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is, the Bible says, it's good seed. And you know, the person who allows the Word of God to sink into their hearts, the person who considers and ponders the Word of God, that person will be blessed. They'll be fruitful. You see, the Bible does tell us in Luke chapter 10, blessed are they that hear the Word of God. The person who attends the house of God is a blessed person. It is of benefit to the individual whenever they attend the house of God. And it's so important that we come to God's house so that we can hear His Word. And oh, that God would enable us to consider His Word, to think about it, and oh, that He would defeat the devil in his attempts to steal away the good seed of the Scriptures. Oh yes, the devil wants you to be distracted inside this sanctuary today. He doesn't want you to think about what's being read at all, what's being preached. He doesn't want you even to consider it for a moment. And whenever you get out through the door of the church, if you have been thinking about it, he wants you to be distracted as straight away, as soon as you get out into the cold light of day, as soon as the fresh air hits you, he wants you to stop thinking about it. He wants to steal away the good seed of the Word of God. Oh, whenever a person dwells upon the Word of God, they're blessed. I often think of Psalm 1, the very first Psalm. It's not there by chance, you know. Why is this Psalm at the very head, the very beginning of the great book of Psalms? Well, for a reason. Listen to it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the Bible. Tell me this, do you delight in the Bible? Do you realize the value of this book? Do you realize what a precious possession it is? Do you realize that there were people in bygone years, people from bygone generations, who died so that you might have the Bible? They shed their blood so that you might have God's Word. I think of William Tyndale. And you know, the Roman Catholic Church burned him at the stake. And just to add to the ignominy of the occasion, they put a Bible, they hung a Bible around his neck and they burned it too. That's the Roman Catholic Church for you. There's a lot of churches you wouldn't hear that today. It wouldn't be mentioned. Shh, shh, shh. Oh, you can't say that. We're in cahoots with the Roman Catholic Church. Don't say anything negative about them. Well, if I was to start telling you negative things this morning about the Roman Catholic system, I'd be here until tonight's service. But you'll have to come back tonight and we'll mention a few home truths about the Church of Rome. But oh, the value of God's word. The devil steals our seconds. He steals the seeds. Then the Bible tells us that he steals souls. He steals souls. You know, the devil wants to steal your soul. Your soul rightfully belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has created you. He has purchased you on Calvary's cross by the shedding of his blood. If anybody has the right to your soul and my soul, it is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But the old devil has stolen your soul. He has it. It doesn't belong to him. He has no right to it. He's a cuckoo. The cuckoo is a very interesting bird. A very strange bird in many ways. But of course the cuckoo steals the nest of another bird. You know, the old devil's like that, isn't he? He comes to the individual to steal their soul. And you know, one day he wants to take your soul to that eternal place of damnation. And he wants your soul to be in that prison forever. But he has no right to it. The Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary has bought you and provided redemption. You see, here's the great doctrine of a general atonement. There are people today who say that whenever Jesus Christ was crucified and whenever his blood was shed on the middle cross, he was only dying for a certain number of people, a select few, as it were, a limited number of people. That's why people preach a limited atonement. You've heard, maybe, don't want to get into it, it can be quite complicated, but you've maybe heard of TULIP. The 5 points, TULIP, and one of them, the L, stands for limited atonement. Well, the Bible tells us that he died for all. You can read it, 2 Corinthians 5. He died for all. Thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for all sinners everywhere. No one is excluded. I want to finish today with a final thought. Not only when we think of the 8th commandment do we think of the widespread occurrence and the wicked one, but think of a wonderful obituary. A wonderful obituary. You see, in Luke chapter 23, and we read it last week, we read of the two thieves who were crucified beside Jesus Christ. Both of them had the same opportunity to be converted. You remember we said last week at the end of the message that both of those thieves, both of those malefactors had equal access to Jesus. Jesus was in the middle between the two men, so they were an equal distance from the Savior. Both of them could have been saved. But the tragedy is that only one of them was saved. I read of, first of all, here in Luke 23, of a critic who was silenced. There was a critic who was silenced. One of the thieves begins to rebuke and he begins to ridicule the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asks the Savior to get him down from the cross. Listen to what he says. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He doubted. If. He wouldn't even believe that Jesus was the Christ. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now, he wasn't asking for his soul to be saved. He wanted just for his body to be taken down from the cross. He wanted to be saved from crucifixion. He didn't want to die, and that's why he asks Jesus to save him. Get me down from this cross if you are what you claim to be. That's the kind of spirit that's around today, irreverence toward God and the things of God. Irreverence toward the Lord, blasphemy. It's everywhere today. But then we have here a criminal who was saved. Not only a critic who was silenced, but a criminal who was saved. You see, Luke chapter 23 is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53. It's a great chapter. If you get an opportunity sometime, you read Isaiah 53. It tells us there about the suffering Messiah. The Jewish people won't read it because it's so plain and clear that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and yet they deny that he was. But here we have this criminal, this transgressor who was gloriously saved. And it's amazing whenever you read about it here. It's amazing how much this man understood about Christ. You see, he says in verse 42, Lord, remember me. Lord, this thief, this robber, this man who had broken the eighth commandment, he can see that Jesus is the Lord. He sees that he's the Lord of glory, God manifest in the flesh. Now, put yourself in his position. I was going to say put yourself in his shoes, but he probably wasn't wearing shoes on the cross. But you think about him for a moment. He's looking over from his cross at this man on the middle cross. Is there anything about the man on the middle cross that would suggest that he's the Lord of glory? The only crown he has is a crown of thorns. His face is disfigured beyond recognition. He was stark naked. The soldiers had taken his clothes from him. And yet the thief says, Lord. Lord. Well, how did he know that he was the Lord? Because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Because, you see, friends, unless the Holy Spirit reveals the truths of the gospel to a person, they'll never be saved. It's impossible. It can't be done. But here was the Spirit of Christ revealing to this dying thief who Christ was. And he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus replies, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That very day, he was going to be with the Lord in glory. He didn't have to wait. Like the Roman Catholic Church teach about purgatory, which, by the way, is an attack upon the finished work of Christ. The idea is that you need to go to this place called purgatory to be purified of your sins. That's not the gospel. The gospel tells us that through the blood of Christ, we are purified from sin immediately, the very second that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened to this dying thief. He was gloriously saved on the very verge of death. Death, as it were, was opening its jaws to receive him. Opening its jaws to swallow him down forever. But he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he was wonderfully saved in an instant, in a moment of time. The dying thief. You know, someday you're going to come to die. We all stand at open graves. And I suppose we think and we say to ourselves, it'll never happen to me. And we just whistle and go on ahead. But someday it will happen. You know, there's a headstone in London and it simply says this: passerby, stop and think. I'm in eternity. You're on the brink.